We hope that this message will help guide you toward positive, Christ-centered change. By reviewing this podcast, you could be part of spreading the good news. Please also consider giving a donation to our ministry at cometoabc.com/giving. As always, these messages are available to copy and share on social networks.
We have been talking about experiencing God, and we're heading into Easter. I want to make a few Easter announcements. First of all, we have an invite that's available at the round table along with that devotional, and on the back there's a lovely little map in case people don't know where we are out here, and there are some that don't know, even though we've been here for hundreds of years, well, 100 and something, but it's asking them to celebrate Easter with us. So if you want to pick one of those out and share it with a friend, a neighbor, we're really encouraging you to do that. How will his story change your story? We're talking about history, but also how Jesus and what he did changes our lives even now. Even if we don't believe, it's really affected culture a lot. It's changed the world, and we're going to be talking about that at the 10 a.m. service. Brother John is going to be sharing at the 7:30 a.m. service about the resurrection, and we'll be talking about the resurrection as well at the 10 service. And then 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. is going to be the Easter breakfast, and we need you to sign up for that if you're going to be able to bring something. There's a sign-up sheet out there. And also for the 10 a.m. service especially, we need greeters. We'd like to have people at every door, and we have a lot of doors here. So we need a lot of people to greet people, welcome them in, and make them feel like we're ready for them and they're appreciated. We all want everyone to feel that when they come in. Amen? Amen. So I know we have some people that are interested in membership. We have a lot of different families that are interested in membership. After Easter, we're going to be starting our membership class. So even if you've been taken in as a member and you haven't gone through that, I encourage you to go through those classes, and we'll have more information on that after Easter. This morning we're talking about experiencing God again, but we're going to go through the vein of God speaking to the church and how he uses the church to change us individually, but also to move us out corporately and help us to work together. Before we get into that, why don't we pray? Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here. I pray that you would take complete charge of the service, that my thoughts would be his thoughts, and that I wouldn't say anything that you don't want me to say, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would learn from your word, and that it would not return void, but we'd be able to apply it to our lives. We'd be able to live it out, and we'd be better for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets and the kings and the judges. In fact, the kids right now, as they're getting ready for junior church, they're going to be going through some of the minor prophets. God spoke through those people to the rest of the nation of Israel. And then you have the Gospels that we read, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, kind of in the beginning of the New Testament. We see that God is speaking through John the Baptist and preparing the way. So he's kind of following the old line of being the prophet. But immediately after that, most of the gospel focuses on Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus is the spokesman for God to the Jewish nation, and to the Israelites of that time, and the people in Jerusalem, and the surrounding areas of Galilee, and Nazareth, and all these different places that he went, Damascus, and even Samaria, all these places that he goes around. He is speaking the word of God to other people. Now, after the Gospels, we see the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we see that the disciples kind of pick up that mantle after the Holy Spirit falls on them at Pentecost. And what happens is you have the disciples going out like Jesus went out, and they're spreading over the entire earth and preaching the gospel. And you open up some of the epistles, which is where Paul begins his ministry to the Gentiles. And if you're not a Jewish person, then you're a Gentile. And he goes and he speaks that to them and tells them the word of God. So what you have is a multiplication process after Jesus, because the Holy Spirit falls upon them and they become the church. Not the synagogue, not just a meeting place, but the church. And when they thought of church, they didn't think of one particular building. They thought of a group of people. And so God began using the church to go out and to preach the gospel. But he also used the church to spread his word. And in fact, in the Old Testament, it talked about these times where the young men would have visions and dreams, and the old men would have visions and dreams, and the young women would be able to go out and move under the power of the Spirit. And it was forecasting what eventually happened and in the age that we live now. So we're technically in the end times. Jesus said that, yeah, the end times have started, and now I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind and womankind. It pours it out upon all of us. So now we've moved from the age of the prophets to the age of grace being extended to all and the Holy Spirit residing in all, which means all of us are challenged to go out and spread the word. Amen? All of us are challenged to be the voice of God, the voice of reason. Now, that doesn't mean that I predict the lottery numbers. I mean, that'd be excellent if I could. It doesn't mean that, though. It doesn't mean that I predict everything that's going to happen and have these dramatic prophecies that make everyone realize. It doesn't mean that. Instead, what it means is I am to share the word of God, his word, but I'm also to speak it into context with the culture that we're in. So we can look with godly wisdom and through the Holy Spirit and say, hey, where we're headed is not good. The direction that we're going in this area is not good. Or here as a church, we should move in this direction or that direction. And this has been abused in some ways because sometimes we think, and this is going back to a message I preached several months ago, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Well, I'm my own pastor, or I'm my own priest, I'm my own prophet. I don't need anyone else telling me what to do. That is not scriptural. Sometimes it's been taken the complete opposite way, where in some way every voice has equal context and equal character, and we listen to everyone, and then we kind of take a vote, and that's how we decide God's will. You don't find that in scripture either. Instead, what you see is something that is discerning and is completely different. What you see in 1 Corinthians 12:27 is different. It says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So we're all the body of Christ. Now, how many of you have stubbed your toe recently? Did you feel that pain everywhere? Or did you just feel it in the toe? I mean, it couldn't just be in the toe, because everywhere, you've ignored the rest of your body. When you stub your toe, all you're thinking about is that toe, because it hurts. So all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So you can't look at your finger and say, well, this finger isn't really worth anything, and you know, this toe, it ain't that bad. If you stub anything, if you hurt anything, that's where the pain is, and that's where the whole body concentrates on and thinks on. And so this is the terminology that's used throughout the New Testament, that we are the body of Christ. Also, it's called the bride of Christ at times, which also represents a body. Now, if we are the body of Christ, then Christ is the head, and the whole body is fitted together by the Father, and the members are equipped by the Holy Spirit. So we're brought together as a body together by God, put together and assembled by God for a purpose and for a reason. And I never really thought about this until I was in this study, but we are mutually interdependent. Some of you are mutually independent. Have you ever been, how many of you are just the independent type of person? Yeah, you're the ones that would raise your hand. The ones that aren't independent, you know, how many of you are not independent? You're gonna look around first and see if anyone else is raising your hand, then you're gonna go with them. Yeah, that's me, okay? Now, are you independent? Are you interdependent? Are you, now we sometimes think, well, we need to be independent. You know, I'm a believer in God and this faith is mine and everything else, and I've made a decision to follow Jesus. That's true. That's true. And you are responsible for yourself. But what we don't realize is that we're not called to just an independence. We are called to an interdependence. We need each other. Amen? No. That was kind of soft. We need each other. All right? I need you guys. You guys need each other. You need the person in the pew that maybe you even haven't met yet. You haven't known them. God has brought them together. They're part of this body of Christ that he's established. Maybe they're a toe. Maybe they're an arm. Maybe they're a stinky nose. I don't know. But they have been brought here by God. So we need them. How do you know we need the people that are in our church? Because they're here. God's brought them here. We know, according to Scripture, that He draws people by the Holy Spirit into salvation. I think the Holy Spirit also draws people into the body of Christ that He wants them to be in. Now, there's a couple different reasons they could be here. It could be that they need to be ministered to by one of us. Or it could be that we need to be ministered to by one of them. And I guarantee you, if you're here long enough, you're going to need both of those. None of us are independent. None of us are that lone wolf you see at the gas station or grocery store, you know. Everybody wants to be the lone wolf and independent, but we are not that way. We're not created that way to begin with. We're not supposed to be that way. We need each other. And separate from the body, you cannot fully know God's will. Separate from the body, you cannot fully know God's will. I'm not talking about just this church. I'm not saying that you have to talk to me to know God's will. In fact, we're going to point that out, that very clearly, that is not the answer. That is not what we're speaking about here. We are mutually interdependent. So what does that mean? That's when there are strong individuals that are involved with each other, but they're not sacrificing themselves or compromising their values. Instead, what they have is a balanced relationship. When we come here as individuals. But when we're together, we can accomplish a whole lot more. And I believe that God has drawn this church together to be the church that He wants it to be. There is not another church in this county like it. There is not another church around here like it. Now, there are a lot of good churches. I'm not saying we're the best. I'm not saying we're anything. I'm just saying we're different and weird. How many of you would just admit it? We're a little strange. We're a little different. And every church is different and weird. I want you to know that. That God has brought people together for a specific purpose and plan. So He knows what He's doing. God knows exactly what He's doing. And we're to be mutually interdependent. Romans 12:5 says this. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We are talking about the blessings that God gives us when we're reading through Psalm 23, how my cup overflows. I want you to know that some of us are filled with different blessings than others. And so when our cup overflows, or when we're able to bless others from the cup that God has given us, it brings about diversity in the church, but it helps people. Some of you have been through problems already. You've been through divorces. You've been through the headaches of kids that run away and get lost. You've been through all of these things already. And God will use that for His purpose and glory to strengthen the church and to grow it up. Not any one person has had all the experience or has all the knowledge. That isn't how God has called us to be a church together. He says you're all one body. And if we're all one body, then who's the brain? Who's the head? Christ. Stephen raised his hand. No, Stephen. Oh, you're pointing up. Okay. We're going to have to just stop right now and clarify for you. No. Christ is the head of the church. Amen? So it's our job to make sure that we're not decapitated. That's really our primary goal right now, is to make sure we are attached to the right one. We are attached to Jesus. That means you can't become attached to a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or a preacher or somebody you hear on the radio. Your faith is not based upon a human. It's based upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we're to be attached to that head. And it calls the church into responsibility. And it tells us that we are the hope of the world. We are critical, because we are the body of Jesus Christ. And so all the action that comes from the head is going out through the body. Hands and the feet and all the other fun stuff. That's what we're to do. Ephesians 4:15 through 16 says it this way. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of bitterness. Love, right? It says love. It's growing and full of love. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There's growth there in every way. I think there are new body parts that are being attached, and there's new things growing, and there's, it's like a baby, a toddler getting bigger and stronger until they're full and they're healthy. See, the goal for us isn't perfection in the church, because our church will never be perfect. We've talked about that before, right? There are no perfect churches, but the goal is health. And that's what Christ says that he'll give us when we attach to him and we look to him for help. I need a few volunteers up here. This is going to be a fun one. I'm not dumping oil on you or anything. That was last week. I need a few volunteers up here. Who likes to play with toys? Come on. Is anybody raising their hands here? All right, come on up. Yeah, we'll take three. There we go. What do we have here, Johnny Thomas? What are these? Potatoes. You can hold one of those. Why don't you start piecing it together? I want you to make the most ridiculous one you can, okay, Johnny? I think you're pretty creative, so you make the most ridiculous one. Rich, you can maybe make one that looks real strong. And then I'm going to have you make whatever you want. How many of you played with these things as kids? I got a picture on the screen. We could show that picture. I got a whole box of these. This is what I do throughout my week, you know? Potato Head. How many of you seen the Toy Story movie? Where like the eyeballs keep falling out and he's always searching for this or that. That's an entertaining part. The mustache and all that fun stuff. I remember the scene where his wife is checking out the bodybuilder guy, and then he's trying to flex and he goes whoop. That's a funny one. This is how we are. So if we're the body of Christ and we hack off a piece, we say, hey, well, we don't need the arm, what happens? Like, this happens, right? We're not completely healthy. We're not completely whole. As we're looking through, are you able to find the body parts here?
No.
Well, it'll be entertaining. No matter what you can build, you try to build it, okay? As we're put together, we're uniquely different. Now, there are some really good churches in our community. You know, Arcadia Christian and White River over here. And there's a lot of churches that have come and gone through the years. And there's a lot of good churches in Cicero and everywhere else. This is why I think it's really important not to bash other churches, because you're talking about the body of Christ. Amen? There's a certain responsibility there. Even when we're talking about our own church, we realize it's not perfect, but we don't want to talk bad about something that Jesus died for. I think that's deeply important. Because if Jesus thought it was important enough to die for, then we shouldn't speak badly of it. And you say, well, he died for me. Yeah, he died for you, but he died for you in context of the church and his bride. When he's coming back, he's coming for a unified bride and a unified church. And eventually these names and buildings that we have aren't going to exist. And we're called back into unity and into body ministry. Now, last night was a perfect example of that. I saw people in the kitchen moving. They had been working on that probably longer than anybody else and preparing all those noodles over all that length of time. There are people that came in at the end and helped clean up. And then there are people that brought other friends in. And there was a diversity of things that were going on within that context. And that's what we're called to when it comes to ministry. See, sometimes we think we should all be the mouth. You know, we all, you know, unless we're up here singing or somebody's preaching, they're not really ministering. That isn't the truth. We need legs, amen? We need arms, the work. We need people that are servants. We need people in the sound booth. We need people greeting when it comes to Easter and every other service. We need people that print out the bulletins. We need all of these things that God has put us together for and to establish. How are we doing? Not good? I got rid of the arm. When Jesus comes back, is he looking for, you know, a complete body? Johnny Thomas, what do you name this guy? Something. That's pretty good, isn't it? We'll leave that together. Give him a hand. The arms don't come out. I was going to give him a hand, literally. Oh, I broke it. Look at that. You can't leave me with anything. Okay. What do you got? Is this yours? This is going to the beach. Anyone have orange toes? If you do, go to the doctor. That ain't good. Oh, strong man. There we go. Handsome ears, huh?
That, listen, he listens. Oh, he's the perfect man. He's strong and he listens. And if you want to, you can just take his mouth away. That's perfect. Okay. Yeah. Rich has got some spare time right now. He wants to see. What? I think God grows the body in the way, just like they put the bodies together and their own personalities. See, this has, I didn't know there were earrings in there. Isn't that pretty? And she has eyeliner. Oh, that is beautiful. You'll have to come up and see these later. These are really good. God puts each church together in a unique way. And I was reading through some of the materials for experiencing God, and it said something that just really hit me because I'd never really thought about it before. It said, look around and see who God is adding to your church. Because there's a reason. There's a purpose. And when God starts adding people to your church, it's for a reason and for a purpose, so that you can become the body that he wants you to become, and so that you can do the specific ministry that the church has been called to do. So that kind of puts it back to you in some ways. Like, what is God calling you to do? You know, what does a healthy church look like? Is any of these three? I mean, I think a healthy church isn't a perfect church, but it's a church that's active. It's a church that cherishes and takes care of every part of its body. It's a church that understands that we're all interconnected, and if one of us is suffering, then we're all suffering in some way. That's the church that Jesus wants to make, and the church that we're called to be, and the church I think we are. So if there are parts of the body split everywhere, or there isn't cohesiveness, or there isn't unity, and I'm saying unity and diversity, because if you look at like a potato head, every one of these parts are different, and you could shove them in the wrong slot, and then it wouldn't work right? That's why I think each of us have individual, specific spiritual gifts, and we're supposed to be put in the right spot in order to function well. That's how God designed us. He designed us to be a part of the church, and I think that's why there's a longing to become a part of something that is bigger than ourselves, because Jesus calls us to that. Now, when a church or somebody individually decides, hey, I'm an arm, I'm just going to go off and be an arm by myself, what happens is basically it's not effective. It doesn't work. You know, it just isn't how God intended it to be. There's actually I don't know if you've heard of this. There's a sickness that people, it's a mental illness, I think, that people develop. They've researched it. They don't know everything about it. It's called body integrity identity disorder. Body integrity identity disorder. It's where eventually you decide that, like, I don't like my right hand. I would be much happier if I just cut it off. There are people that suffer this malady where they think, you know, I just feel like my right leg shouldn't be there. And there are actually doctors who perform surgeries to amputate things that are completely healthy because the person is missing something in their head. They're lost. Now, that's what I think it's like to be a believer in Jesus Christ and not be a part of a body of Christ, not be a part of a church. And I'm not saying it has to be a church like this. It doesn't have to be a church that just meets on Sundays. It can be a home church. It can be a group of fellowship of believers or anything like that. But really, we're not called to ministry by ourselves. We're called to be joined together in the way that Christ wants us to do. Otherwise, I don't think we're spiritually healthy. We sometimes say this in weddings, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Right. It's the same thing with the body of Christ, I think. So Jesus Christ is the great physician who wants to perform reattachment surgery. That's what I think of whenever someone comes to Christ, whenever someone comes back into a church, whenever someone is baptized. I believe that God is adding them to what he is creating, what he's designing. And he is the great physician who is doing that. So here's the prayer I think we need to have. Lord, whatever you direct me to do in relation to your body, that is what I will do. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to do that. Whatever you're giving me, whatever function you want me to perform in, I will perform in that. Now, I think the other important thing that we have when we're together is we have the ability to pray and ask God for discernment as to what we're to do.
And when we do that, when we really pray, and we're not just sharing opinions, opinions, everyone has one, right? But we're actually saying, hey, God, what do you really want us to do as a church? Or what do you want us to do individually? And someone says, hey, I've been praying about this, and here's what I think. We need to really listen. Now, that doesn't mean we trust everything that everybody says. It doesn't mean we can do everything that everybody says immediately. But we listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying through the individual members of the church. And it may be a nose that is talking that day, or an ear that's saying something. But what we need to do is discern and listen to God and hear that maybe we're missing something, or maybe there's a vision he has for us, or a particular thing that we're supposed to be doing that we're not doing. Now, unless you think that you can't listen to anybody else, I think it's pretty important to do that. Amen? I think it's pretty important to ask that question. Hey, what do you think Christ is trying to do in our church right now? What do you think Christ is trying to do in our church right now? And we do a lot of things. And I'm not trying to get off on a tangent and say, you know, we need to do more things or anything else. I'm not trying to be a burden. But I think this very truly, and maybe this is where the focus is individually for us, I think being the right kind of people that God is pleased with is more important than doing anything. Being the right kind of people that God is pleased with is more important than doing anything. Someday we're going to stand before our Creator and have to give an account for how we treated the body, how we interacted in the body, and how we were believers in the body. So being is more important than doing. But I think God wants his people to be holy and pure. God wants his people to display unity. Amen? God wants his people to love each other deeply. To love each other. Just like we love our own body. We love each other. And if we're not loving each other, then we're kind of like those people that want to hack off a limb. We're missing it. We're missing it. We really need to focus and say, hey, God, grow that love within me and help me to realize that they're a brother or sister in Christ, or they're someone that's struggling right now, or maybe they just need somebody to come alongside them and say, hey, I love you. I love you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would grow our love for each other, that we would be loving, that we would continue to display cheerful attitudes, that we would respect each other as God respects us, and that we would grow in maturity. And Lord, I thank you for the baptisms we're going to do today, and for the people that you're bringing into our church, and even looking forward after Easter, we're praying that more people would come that don't have a body that they're attached to, because every believer needs to be a part of a body. God, I pray that we would grow in your strength and in your power, and that we would develop in love and in unity to accomplish all that you have for us. God, help us to ask that question. Jesus, what are you trying to do in me right now? And what are you trying to do in the church? Jesus, how do you want me to be involved? Help us to hear from your Holy Spirit when we pray. Help us to focus on you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
We hope that this message will help guide you toward positive, Christ-centered change. By reviewing this podcast, you could be part of spreading the good news. Please also consider giving a donation to our ministry at cometoabc.com/giving. As always, these messages are available to copy and share on social networks. Until next time, continue to grow in Jesus.